to be a blessing tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you tonight and continue. It's a while back that I shared some things about prayer, and I'd like to continue in that tonight. I'm not going to complete the train of thought that I have tonight on the characteristics of God in prayer, but I want to start in Luke here, and let's read together Luke, the 11th chapter. We're going to start in verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." I want to stop with that thought and just kind of look at this, that these guys who were following Jesus saw Jesus connecting with Father. Yes. Saw the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords connecting with Father God. And they're saying, "Listen, I want to connect with God. Jesus, show us the way." And you know, I believe that we really need a passion to do that. Yes. A passion to go to Jesus, say, "Jesus, show me the way." Our hearts should be crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, light my pathway. Show me how to walk the walk. Show me how to talk the talk. Show me how to connect with my Father. Show me how to be pleasing in His sight. Show me how to pray and get results. Show me how to pray for my brothers who are hurting. Show me how to bless them, how to be a blessing to bless them. Jesus, show me the way." He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master and our great love and friend. And man, our hearts ought to be crying out every day, "Show me how to be an overcomer, Lord Jesus. You're the head of this body. I'm your bride. Your desire is to nurture me and to care for me. Show me how to be an overcomer. Show me how to win out in my job. How to be overcome the challenges and do such a good job. How to be an asset. Show me how to encounter other people and to love other people. Show me your kindness and your long-suffering. Let me see what's on the inside of me by the Holy Ghost and that fruit that's inside of me. Let me live it out." And so you got the disciples here saying, "Jesus, show us how to pray. Show us how to connect with you." And you know, if I were to ask a question tonight, why should God answer our prayers? Why should God answer your prayers? And we're looking for the response to that, aren't we? We say, "Well, I'm a member of Victory Life Church." Well, I'm a teenager. God should answer my prayers because I got a kid's heart, you know. Or I'm retired. God should answer my, you know, I pray good. I'm retired. All of those answers would be wrong. And I say, "Lord, why should God answer our prayers?" God doesn't answer our prayer based on us, but on Him.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not on us at all, but it's on Him.
Yeah.
And I need to grow in understanding and try to tap into the power and the authority that is in the name of Jesus, how to use that. And so I want my mind to be transformed in such a way that I can even know how to connect with God. You know, Romans 12:2 tells us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would know how to connect with God, that we'd know God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Another translation, let be transformed by letting me change the way that you think. I need to change my paradigm of thinking. Don't you?
Yeah.
And it's a progressive change as well. We're going to go over Psalms 23. You can mark that, put your little mark in there, your little string, and hold that, because we're going to be bouncing back and forth in Psalms 23. And in Psalms 23, we're going to find one of the keys to prayer, an effective prayer, by understanding God. By understanding God. That's a key to prayer, is growing in understanding. And you know, as you and I grow in understanding, I look at all of us as different levels of our growth in God, different levels of maturity, different levels of revelation and understanding. And you know what you and I are supposed to do as we grow in understanding? Is to encourage one another in that revelation that we have. You're supposed to encourage one another in revelation who Jesus is in your life.
Yeah.
Even to the lost.
Yeah.
You share the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, and he loves you, and he came for you, and he's provided life for you. Well, you and I, as we grow together in how we're communicating with God, should share with one another that revelation of how we've discovered how to connect with our Father. One of those ways, you know, with Kathy, when we first met, is that she would just, and by default, she was just sharing with me, you know. And first of all, of course, we had to lay the groundwork for dating and a relationship. Stan, I want you to know that I love Jesus first and then you. Well, that was a revelation. Now I've gained that revelation because of the eternity with Jesus. So in Hebrews 11, right, you can jot that down. It's not in your notes. 11:6, it talks about without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith. For those who come unto God must do two things. They must, first of all, believe that he is. And he's talking to brethren. He's talking to brethren. You want to be able to please God, you got to believe that he is. Well, see, that comes through understanding. And that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when you've discovered that God has rewarded you for seeking him, share that revelation with others. Man, press in. Don't give up. Hold the faith. Stay the course. Have faith in God. Press in because he's going to reward you. Amen? Keep your head up. Amen. Well, here in Psalms 23, we see very many facets of the character of God, typically 8 names of God that you can even pull out of this one psalm. I'm not going to get through all of them tonight, but we'll start on it, okay? So let's go over to Psalms 23 and look at some of the character of God. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. For many people, it's their favorite passage of Scripture. I've read this so many times, even at funerals. When you say, what was their favorite, you know, psalm or Scripture? Psalms 23. Okay, it says this, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We want to look at some tools for prayer, which come through understanding. We'll start in verse 1. Verse 1 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's my shepherd. That ought to ring true with you. Yeah, the Jesus, he's my shepherd. He might be yours, but he's mine too. He's mine. He's my shepherd. And it all starts with understanding that, listen, God wants an intimate relationship with you. If you want to connect with God, you got to know this. God wants an intimate relationship with you, and you should lean on that in your communication with God, that I have an intimate relationship with him. He is my shepherd. The Jewish Old Testament Hebrew word here is Jehovah Ra. It literally means you are my pastor. Wow. Jesus, Lord, you're my pastor. You know what? Everybody needs a pastor. Every pastor needs a pastor. We need a pastor. You need to find your pastor. Your pastor. Everyone needs someone who can speak into their life. Trouble is, so many times we're not listening. And I know, as a pastor in this church and as pastor over 21 years, I find that many people, they say they want a pastor, but they don't want somebody speaking into their life. Oh, yeah. You need a personal relationship with a pastor. Now, I find that as a pastor of a church of this many people, I can truly speak into the life. I can speak in the lives of you when I'm up here. But on even an intimate relationship, there's a limited amount. So I have associate pastors. I have others in our church. They're pastors. They speak into the lives of people that they're building a relationship with. And our life group leaders are a type of pastor. They're helping me pastor people. They're there for you. They'll pray with you. They'll encourage you. They might even jerk the slack out of you when needed as your relationship grows, you know. But it's everybody needs someone speaking into their life, someone who will seek God with you for answers. Isn't that what we want? Because there's times you say, man, I need an answer. I need a spiritual leader in my life. I need someone to help pastor me. Now let's go over to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13. I'm reading from the Amplified in verse 17. Now this is speaking to Christians. Woo. Now, he's talking to you. Okay. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually, recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. Stop for a moment. These spiritual leaders, my pastor, Pastor Dwayne, is my spiritual leader. And he watches after my soul. And you know what? That's a great benefit to me. Someone who is praying, who can speak an unbiased word to me when I need to be spoken to, encouraged, maybe challenged. I mean, when I've got a spiritual leader that is praying for me and over my soul, guarding my spiritual welfare, that is a great benefit to me. So why wouldn't I want to listen to him? Why wouldn't I want to submit to him and yield to that and spend time with him and have ears to hear? Now let's read on. As men who have to render an account of their trust, they're going to answer to God. Now let's read on. I love this. Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning. For that would not be profitable to you either. You mean those pastors sighing, groaning, say, oh man, those sheep, man. Hurting them today was tough, man. They bite, they kick at times. You ever got kicked by a sheep's hooves? Come on now. You don't want your pastor sighing and groaning because you're not doing your part to walk with God. You want to stay in the fold and the benefits of the fold, but at times you don't want the shepherd hurting you and keeping you safe and taking you to green pasture, showing the right way to go. Come on. Are y'all with me? Y'all see the picture. But do your part. There's so much more there, but we're going to go on. But he says, listen, when you do your part in support of this relationship, it says it's profitable to you as well. It's profitable to you to function in the house of God the way God has set us in. Does that make sense?
Yes. That's good.
Come on. We've been so abused by the world, we're so afraid to even make ourselves vulnerable. Come on. Are y'all hearing me? I mean, we've been damaged and hurt by the world at times. We're thinking on relationship in the world standards, and we close off from seeing what spiritual leaders can play, their part they can play in our hearts and lives. And we're very cautious to yield to that, right? Amen. When our spiritual leaders come to us and say, listen, you've been offended and you need to forgive. I have not. Well, I rest my case. when you know, and you need to, sometimes you need to be challenged. Amen. And some people today, you know, I see this all the time. Well, that's not the best shepherd. I'm just going to jump flocks. That's a new term. I made that up. You know, like jumping ship? Jump flocks. I'm going to go to another one. Amen. Our shepherds and our spiritual leaders are so valuable, and we sometimes take it for granted. We need people to lead us and feed us. See, Jesus, he is my shepherd. John 10:14, and ultimately, Jesus is the ultimate shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. Look at this. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. A yielding sheep. Jesus knows me, and I know him because I'm yielding to my shepherd. I tune my ear to his voice, to hear his voice. Not only straight from heaven, or I listen through the word and I listen to spiritual leadership over me. I'm tuning my ear to hear the shepherd's voice that he speaks through people at times. My friends and leadership and spiritual leaders in my life. And I know when it's God speaking through them to me. I know when somebody comes to me and says, I believe God gave me a word for you, and it enlightens my heart, it energizes my heart. I know it came from my shepherd. I know his voice. And he knows me. And man, we need this. Back to Psalms 23:1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, he takes care of my needs. I'm learning how to pray here. We're talking about prayer. Jesus, you're my shepherd. You're my great shepherd. And you're going to take care of my needs. You're going to lead me in the right direction. You're going to take me to safe pasture. As long as I follow you, you're going to take care of all my needs. It's when I get all acting like a goat and start veering off and that I mess up. But see, he's my shepherd. And God, I thank you that you're my shepherd today. And God, I thank you as I approach you today. I know that you're providing for all of my needs. I know that you provided for my needs by your blood being shed on the cross that defines who I am and what's been provided for me. And I have life because of you, Jesus. See, we got to learn how to pray. We've got to learn how to pray. You are my provider. The Jewish covenant name for that is Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. Let's look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter. I want to take you through a few verses here. With Abraham and Isaac, the certainty of God's promises to you. See, when you pray, you got to realize this. God's promises are certain. They're sure and steadfast. God is faithful. God is faithful. For example, he says in verse 13, for example, talking about faith, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. That's God's promise to Abraham. Then Abraham waited patiently. Oh, there's that word. Patience. I was listening today, and Christian knew right off who I was talking about. And this one guy saying, God provided all the good stuff on the other side of pain. I mean, he's one of those guys that knows pain. You know, when you're out there running 5 miles or more, that's pain. Boy, that's painful. But there's so many benefits from that, right? And I got to thinking about that. All the good stuff of God is beyond faith when I step in faith. The good stuff of God is beyond patience. There's stuff that can only be reached through the avenues God provides. To be patient, steadfast. Let your patience have its perfect work so that you can be complete and entire, lacking nothing. So see, your patience brings the answers of God, the promises of God. God, I thank you that my answer is coming. God, when I approach you in prayer, I'm going to say, God, thank you that my answer is on the way. Because you said it in your word. It's promised to me. It's mine. I claim it. I proclaim it today. I've asked for it. And it's coming. And I'm going to have patience. And I'm going to wait. It's going to be to your glory when it comes to my life. We're learning how to pray. And through patience, that's what Abraham did. He waited patiently and he received what God had promised. Verse 16. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. Without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things, now get this, these two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. There are things that God cannot do. Oh, God can do anything. No, there's things he cannot do. One is he cannot lie. He cannot change. That's who he is. So God cannot lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. He gave all of that example of Abraham to show to you, you can have great hope when you hold to the promises of God. He's trying to build faith. He supplies everything I need. Write down these notes and go check them. 2 Peter 1:3, Philippians 4:19, and Ephesians 3:16. But here, see, God, he's our provider. But you know what it is with us? The tendency that we have many times is that we become our own provider. We become our own source of provision instead of trusting God. Listen, we don't want to trust in riches. We want to trust in the one who richly blesses. See, what happens is if you start becoming your own provider, you just start reaching for provision. We'll make our job the focus. We'll make accomplishing things our focus because we've got to provide. We've got to be the source of provision. And I, listen, there's nothing wrong with working hard. You need to work hard. You need to get a job if you can. Come on. There's nothing wrong with working hard and earning. It's just that we don't need to trust in it. Trust in it. Otherwise, you won't have money. It will have you. It will have you. It'll be controlling your life. Do you know what? I heard a statistic the other day that people who have the most money actually give less. Lord, I'll start tithing when my ship comes in. No, you won't. If you're not faithful in little, you won't be faithful in the much. They go with the umbrella of being financially secure. We need to let God provide. You know, ever since I've given my life to the Lord, Kathy and I have always tithed. I can't even imagine not being faithful in my finances. Amen? I can't even imagine that. So Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Back to Psalms 23, look at verse 2. Excuse me. He, we talked shepherd, provider, He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. Now, stop for a moment. He says, He makes me to lie down. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. You know what you and I need to do is stop and slow down a little bit. We're the ones that are running wide open, and we need to let God lead us to those places of refuge, the places of stillness, the places where we lie down in comfort and refuge. We're trying to make our own way. We need a place of stillness and peace in our life. You need peace, don't you? You need that place of stillness. This is a third characteristic of God, that God, You are my peace. And you know what? Our peace comes from a word from the Lord. Amen. Have you ever just gotten that one simple little word from God? And it doesn't take much, does it? When you know it's from God, it's like, whoa, man, that's it. That's what I've been looking for, Lord. That's what I've been wanting to hear. Praise God. A word from God is what we need. And, you know, I can't and I don't find my peace in drugs or alcohol or even soap operas. You know, somebody watch those suckers all day long, man. What are they trying to gain from that, you know? Here's the thing, too. He doesn't have peace for us. He is peace. Yes, that's good. So if you're looking for peace, what you need is Jesus. He's our peace. Jesus, You're my peace. You've given peace to me. You're my answer, my joy. That covenant name is Jehovah Shalom. He is our peace. You know, there's so many people today that are under such a great amount of stress. And you may be here tonight. And you know what I've noticed about some people is that sometimes they're overwhelmed with stress and don't even realize it. They keep shoving it down, shoving it down, shoving it down. Deal with it, function, shove it down and function, shove it down and function until one day you can't shove it down anymore, it explodes. All the stress that we face and with family and finances and health, and much of our stress, again, it comes from ourselves, us. We've put it on ourselves because we just load ourselves up. We've added so much to our lives, and some of you here tonight, you're doing way too much. You need to slow down and hear God. And maybe even prioritize your life. Yeah, but I can do it. I can do it. I can just bear so much. But not everything that is doable is sustainable. You just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing. And rather than pushing into Jesus and finding those moments of peace, You just keep on and keep on and keep on. But see, Jesus is our peace. He's our peace. And listen, I've been guilty of this. Working in jobs and working in oil field, and used to work 7 days a week, 24-hour call, 120 to 30 hours a week. And I had my boss say, I think people's crazy. People are crazy for not working 7 days a week. What's wrong with that? And I'm right there with, yeah, give me another job, you know. And then when you come home and your kids don't even know who you are. I mean, your wife still does. We got a marriage license. That's about, you know, hey. But, you know, there's something wrong with that. Look at Ecclesiastes 4:6. Ecclesiastes 4:6. It says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Oh, man. I figured out there's more to life than a job. There's more than life than chasing the dollar. There's a need for tranquility. There's a need for peace in our lives and our relationships. You can have two handfuls of life and be absolutely stressed out. Sometimes it's better to do a little bit less and have more peace. You know, there's a theory of the world, if one is good, two's better. If $1 is good, $2 is better. If one activity is good, two activities is better. One kid's good, two kids is even better. The twist of it is, if one wife is good, two wives are better. That's crazy, man. They've got done lost their mind, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I mean, I'm doing good to keep one happy, you know? The world is messed up. You know, so I've debated about sharing this. Why did Solomon have 1,000 wives? Yeah, he was an idiot. That's it. That might be better than my answer. So that he had an idea that at least he'd come in every day and at least one of them be in a good mood. You're right, man. That's bad. That ain't quite it, is it? John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace, Jesus says, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, Psalms 23:3 says, he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He gives the peace that is sustaining. There's nothing else like it. Once you've tasted of it, you want nothing else. He restores my soul. It literally means, listen, he restores my soul. It literally means, and then we're going to wind down with this one, to heal, to bring back to the place of origin. When you're reading that in Hebrew, it means to restore order, to bring back to a former, original, or normal condition. Because, you know, I think our lives sometimes are abnormal the way that we just keep on and keep on. It's not what God planned for us. We need to be living a life of peace. Yeah. And it means to a state of health, soundness, or vigor. To put back to a former place or to a former position or rank. Man, we need understanding of God in our relationship with Him. Even our prayer life. God wants to bring restoration to us. And he's saying to a former position, a former place that we need to get back to. He restores my soul. He leads me to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We have a God who wants to bring everything back to its origin. He wants to return everything the devil has stolen from us. What has the devil stolen from you? What has he robbed you of? What peace have you lost? What tranquility have you lost? What healthy state of mind have you lost? What fear engulfs you? What pain torments you? What bondage have you come under because of damage? God wants to restore you. He wants to bring you back. He wants to restore your soul the way that he planned for you to begin with. And some of you are just innocent casualties of war. But Jesus said the anointing that he had sets the captives free. See, that captives in the Greek is innocent casualties of war. When you turn to Jesus, he can restore you to the place you never even knew that was yours to have. I've seen people come in and just said, I never knew there could be such freedom. I never knew there could be such joy, such fulfillment in my heart, such a peace. People that have come up and cried out to Jesus and said, man, I feel like I have come home. This is where I belong. This is where I belong. I never even knew I belonged somewhere else. I've got a home in heaven. I never realized how wonderful it is. I got a God who loves me. I never knew how much he loved me. See, God wants to restore you to that place. That's our God. And Jesus, when I'm crying out to Jesus, I'm saying, Jesus, you are my healer. You're my healer. Jesus is the great physician. You know what? He hadn't retired yet. I've had physicians come and go. Some that got old enough, they couldn't pick up their pencil and decide it's time to retire. But Jesus is the great physician. He heals. And he hasn't retired. He hasn't quit. And we've got to believe God for that. That Jesus is my healer. He's the restorer of my soul. He bridges that breach between me and God. Even in my ignorance, he still heals. And you know what? He heals more than bodies. A sick heart needs healing. Jehovah Rapha is the covenant name. He restores. You know what? We need this to happen in our lives. He restores our lives. And he, you know what? He also, and I'll close with this, he brings restoration many times through relationships. Sometimes we're wanting that quick fix. Wave a magic wand over and it's all okay. But sometimes it's walking in relationship with brothers and sisters. We need this. Because sometimes when we're rubbing rough elbows together, we rub off the rough edges. Through relationships. See, we're being fitted neatly together for a habitation of God. And when you join in with the brethren, healing comes. Healing comes. And you'll never know it until you step out to connect with other people, connect with the body of Christ, and bring that joy and healing to one another. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
That's why we have life groups. As simple as it is, just spending time with other people sometimes brings such joy, such a peace, so much refreshing. You know what I'm saying? Through an encouraging word to one another. That's why we got to take a step of faith and connect with other people as well, to be healthy. We need this to happen in our lives. So, God, you're my shepherd. You're my provider. You're my peace. And you know what? Lord, you're my healer. That's how we pray. When we cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, show me how to pray. Pray who God is. Know who God is and speak that over your life and your relationship. And approach God because of what He is. He's made a covenant with you. He loves you. He loved you when you was all messed up. He still loves you. And that last thing, when you think about God loving you, there's people who say, I've done way too much. I've done bad stuff. You don't know, Pastor. I've done bad things. And I think about that as far as my children and my grandchildren. And you know what? My children weren't always perfect. Some of them will say near perfect. They weren't always perfect. And even when they messed up, it never stopped me from loving them. So when you have children, it helps you understand the love of God. When you mess up and you goof up, it doesn't stop God from loving you. It doesn't stop God from picking you up and brushing you off and say, come on, let's go. So if tonight, if you feel like, man, I've messed up too much, I've goofed up, I've made mistakes, and, you know, I just don't know if God would just receive me back in. He's waiting here with open arms.
Yes,
just to love you back in and embrace you, to strengthen you. Because why? He's your shepherd. He's your healer. He's your peace. He loves you desperately. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Hope you're getting something out of this. We'll pick it up next time and finish those.